T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Live and local, Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Vernon, just it was something that I told everybody at the very beginning of the week. I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. And we cannot make decisions that cost the team and then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant. No, you know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else, rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm sure everyone has heard little clips of that, but that was the entire thing. Mike Singletary had it with Vernon Davis in a game, and, you know, can't win with him. I got to tell you, I mean, the man is, he brings a lot of gravitas to his job, and I got tons of respect for Mike Singletary. Again, I don't really think he's an X's and O's guy. I don't think he's necessarily a defensive coordinator, and he was interviewed for that job. But he certainly would be the kind of guy that would get you to run through a wall if he were your coach, David.
Without a doubt, football is an emotional game. I mean, it's not a contact sport; it's a collision sport, and you have to be mentally sharp, and you have to have all those intangibles. And Mike Singletary has a way of reaching within teammates, within players, and getting them to find that inner resolve and to tap into those things. And so if the Bears were talking to Mike Singletary about adding him to the defensive coaching staff, I think it's a different conversation than wondering whether or not is a good fit as defensive coordinator. I think they're two different jobs. He's a tremendous, you know, rare leader of men. You don't have to sit here for the next, you know, segment or hour or whatever, or day or week, talking about Mike Singletary's qualifications to get the most out of people as a motivator, but as a, you know, tactician, as a strategist, as somebody who, you know, who fits the job description for defensive coordinator, there just hasn't been that experience, and he hasn't shown that to be the path that, you know, he's been successful on. So I think there's a distinction to be made there, but I wouldn't have a problem with them adding him to their staff, because the Bears defensive, you know, football team, their defense needs something different, something to make them better than they were and stop underachieving, because that was an underachieving group the second half of last season.
Yeah, I'm curious how much of that is motivation, how much of that is X's and O's. Are you playing the wrong way? Are you not disguising what you're doing? Something went wrong with that defense, and it was weird the way that it went wrong, because it went from being a top 10 defense, a dominant group, and you know, you understood Eddie Goldman was missing the season, but wow, look at what they have anyway. And he went out and you got another pass rusher opposite Khalil Mack, and you thought that was going to wreak havoc, And it didn't. It just didn't. And for whatever reason, you know, if you're dropping guys that you should be rushing, I don't know what the reason would be. And I don't really believe it was all about coaching. It was all about Chuck Pagano. If that is what people, if that was the takeaway, I disagree with that. So it's just, it's a complicated problem.
Do you think that Singletary, he must be sincere about wanting to get back into the business if he's talking to the Bears and understands what, you know, even that getting out will create, you know, conversation, some, a little bit of a buzz. You know, this is a guy that his last stint on the sideline was I think Memphis in the old AAF. Remember those, the Alliance of American Football in 2019. Remember how much we enjoyed those diversions into springtime football. His team went 2-6, but that was as a head coach. And I just don't know that, you know, he hasn't been on an NFL staff. His last stint, I think, was with the LA Rams in 2016. So you wonder where he is at. He's been coaching high school football. I think he tried to get hired at Baylor at some point. So he's a proud man. You wonder what his motivation himself is in trying to, you know, talk to the Bears about a potential role, because it's not something that, you know, you just can't dismiss it. When Mike Singletary interviews with your organization, it does create a headline and some conversation.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just, you know, and again, I think this, I can think of other examples, David, of the Bears interviewing people or talking to people for jobs that you kind of knew going in that maybe they weren't going to get the job. Didn't Mike Singletary at one point want to work on Dick Geron's staff a long time ago? And I don't think he even got an interview. I think they ended up, Gary Moeller, I think, ended up getting that job. I can't remember what it was that he wanted to interview for. But, you know, look, I don't have any problem with them talking to a former player and a guy like Singletary. And again, personally, I understand why everyone thinks it's some sort of a clown show that's been going on, and I don't think he's the guy for the job, but I think you need to respect what the man achieved in his career and who he is. And, you know, I know that even that little speech there that has been picked apart and used as sort of an amusement, that's football, man. That's a guy calling people out and letting them know, hey, we got to have better. You've got to play. I want people that want to win, not selfish players. I think it's a fair comment. And did I miss something? Did Vernon Davis end up having a phenomenal career? There was something missing from him. It wasn't talent, but I think calling a guy out's okay.
That's football. Yeah, you have to try different things. And let's face it, you look around the NFL and these head coaching positions and – you know, again, the head coach responsibilities and I think the qualifications are different. You're looking for maybe different things than you are with the defensive coordinator job. But you look around the league, Mully, and head coaches are getting hired for various reasons, different reasons. And they're not exactly overly qualified for the job. Nobody's going to say Brandon Staley, you know, 5 years ago with a Division III defensive coordinator, gets hired by the Chargers as their head coach because of his meteoric rise in the profession, you know, and he's got the keys to the castle. And you look at the Lions, they just gave a 6-year contract, 6-year commitment to Dan Campbell as their head coach. Now you can say, okay, well, yeah, he's an up and comer, but really, I mean, so different people value different things, and it is football and it is coaching, and you know, leadership will take you a long way, and those qualities are rare. And once you find them, and if you value them, they can lead to things. It's just, you know, but that's what I mean. So if the Bears want to add Mike Singletary to the defensive staff,
right?
Come on down. This would be great because this defense is missing something, but I just don't know if it's that specific skill set that is his strength that they need right now.
Well, we know they need a coordinator. We know they're going to need a defensive line coach. We know there's a good chance that there are other coaches that also are heading out of the building. And, you know, look, I don't think that, you know, as much as that is important on a day-to-day basis, as much as you look at successful position coaches and the impact they can have, I don't think anybody looks at a football franchise and says, you know what, boy, they really kind of messed up with the running backs coach. There's a reason that the running game's not working. There may be an element of truth to it, but I think that it's all on the head coach. Ultimately, when we evaluate whether a coach is successful or not, we don't say, you know, that guy would have been brilliant if he'd not lost the defensive line coach. We say, this is his tenure. It's on his head. They're not good enough. Period, end of story.
Yes, that's true. But I do think that the more turnover that you have on a staff, sometimes it reflects on the ability of the coach to create an environment that promotes continuity and it creates and fosters this sort of loyalty, or not even loyalty, because I think everybody's out for they're making decisions for their own careers, sure. And that makes sense. But they see that it's they value being part of this franchise because they're on the cusp of something special. And as the more that people leave, whether it's last year when they were fired because they replaced three coaches last year on the offensive staff because they felt like they could get better, or in some cases this year, people just moving on for better situations, then you start to wonder. And I think it's a fair question to ask. Why are people leaving Hallis Hall? Why are coaches moving on from, if everything is as good as the Bears project that things to be? And last year, that's all it was. It was a 90-minute commercial for the culture and collaboration in Lake Forest. If that's the case, and that is the reality, then why would you not want to be part of that if you're a young and upcoming NFL assistant? I don't know if it's really compatible there, and it doesn't really seem believable if you're seeing these guys walk out the door.
I got to tell you, it kind of blows my mind a little bit because you don't know what else is going on here. And in other words, you know, when guys' contracts run out, you don't know if the contract offer to someone, and I'm not saying this is the case, but this is the case sometimes in colleges. These are things that you have to consider. Sometimes you're offered, we'll give you a 2-year deal, but it, you know, the first year is guaranteed, the second year, if the coach remains. That's a way that you'll negotiate around a change in coaching staff, right? So if you're mm-hmm. letting a coach's contract expire, you know, the guy's going to have options. And if he has buddies around the league and he has better options, he's going to take them. But if you're also offering a guy a contract, then, you know, you have to be careful when you look at the language in some of these deals. Oh, this guy got a 2-year extension. Well, it may be a one and the second year if the coaching staff remains. It's a way for teams to get out of it, or schools to get out of a commitment to a bunch of people. We talked about how, you know, the coach is $5 million, but then you throw all the other salaries in, the staff in, and all the other commitments you have. And the coach who comes in can say yes or no to a lot of different careers. It's just a fact of life that a guy may come in. You know, it's a dog-eat-dog world. He's got a great friend of his that he wants to have your job. So, sorry, you know, you're not going to stick around. So you almost have to look at the language of the assistant coach's contracts to determine how much the commitment is to the head coach.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's a good point as well. And I just think that in that context, everything we've talked about, and we had a pick six question about, you know, Wade Phillips. Is that somebody that you now would want to – you know, talk to because of his experience and his history? I've received a couple questions yesterday via social media, Mully. I'm sure that you've had this from people you talk to. You know, the idea of Lovie Smith, you know, being contacted to talk to because of, you know, his past with the franchise. I think that's a non-starter. I can understand talking to Mike Singletary and tapping his brain, perhaps. Maybe it's a favor. Maybe it's something else you're looking for. But I wouldn't understand pivoting and talking to Lovie Smith. I think there are limits to how creative you want to be here. Wade Phillips, yeah, I get it. Because of his, he's 73, but he's also a proven guy, could come in and make a quick impact. But I think that at some point in time, you've got to identify exactly what you want. And, you know, you can't interview people forever. And I think they're probably nearing the end of the process. Let's hope they're nearing the end, more closer to the end than the beginning.
I totally agree with you, David. Boy, I mean, you know, there are all sorts of coaches around the league and guys putting staff together and putting staffs together. And you got to be aware of that. You got to make sure that you are not hiring the last guy left, as crazy as that sounds. You just want, you know, you want to be able to, and I'm sure Matt Nagy has friends all over the league. I don't know how close he is with a lot of defensive guys, right? And that's just the reality of kind of your profession. You end up at various camps and at various places working with people. And if you're in meetings and you're an offensive guy, it's usually the offensive coaches that you're hanging out with. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't know those defensive guys, but I don't know that he does. I don't know what he knows about, you know, I don't know who he leans on to get that information. So it's curious. And I would imagine that there are enough people around there that have ideas, but get to it, right?
I mean, well, you know what? And this will sound terribly unfair, but you know, Ryan Pace deserves a lot of blame or responsibility for not knowing. We criticize him in his inability to understand what a quarterback looks like, right? Or to evaluate quarterbacks. How confident are you that Matt Nagy, in evaluating defensive coaches, is making, you know, decisions? You know, how experienced is he to do that? How qualified is he to do that? I mean, Brandon Staley is an example that I think we just sort of gloss over, but why was he not considered a stronger candidate when Vic Fangio left to succeed Fangio? Because look what happened to his career, and look how quickly he rose. He went from Denver to the Rams.
Right.
Now he's a head coach. He's 38 years old. So if you see greatness and you hear these things, and we've talked to Olin Krutz about it, he's like, hey, you got to see the Staley guy. You should see the way that he coaches. If that's as obvious to the outside, how come, you know, why isn't it more obvious to the bosses? And so I do wonder about this next hire. It will say a lot about how much they either have learned or have to learn about identifying what is important in a defensive coordinator or in an assistant coach.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Don't miss NFL Championship Sunday on The Score as football's Final Four square off to see who goes to the Super Bowl. Our coverage starts at 1 with the NFC's best. It's Aaron Rodgers and the Packers taking on Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Bucks.
Brady goes under center, takes the snap, fakes the board, throws left on the slant to the end zone, caught for the touchdown.
Then it's a battle for the AFC, the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs versus the Buffalo Bills.
Gets a few blocks and he goes into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs.
Championship Sunday, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, home of Super Bowl 55. Brought to you by Bet Rivers, Chicago's hometown sportsbook. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I don't really consider 28 degrees cold. I grew up in the north. We got a lot of guys that played in Green Bay and played from in colleges up north. The weather won't affect the ball game, I don't think, at all.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Bruce Arians.
Wait until the snow globe Sunday night in Green Bay. Tell me the surface won't be affected and that won't affect the ball game.
You know, a man can dream. There's nothing wrong with dreaming. Okay, listen, I love talking about this stuff, and I think it's a lot of fun to get into what's going to happen with the defense and how they're going to go about it. And I'm not dismissing the idea. I do think, though, that when we keep it in perspective, we look at these final four teams. You got one defensive coordinator, former defensive coordinator, out of the bunch. You got offensive-minded coaches for the most part, including Bruce Arians, who we just heard from. And you've got quarterbacks. Quarterbacks, quarterbacks, quarterbacks. Who wants a quarterback? Oh, my God, we got the old quarterbacks. Look how old these guys are. Oh, we got the young quarterbacks. Oh, look how young these two are. Oh, we got the guy in his prime. You know, you look at it, and you got Tom, you got Aaron Rodgers, you got Patrick Mahomes, and now you got a guy that's coming into his own as a player like you thought you were supposed to do in terms of development. You got it all here.
You've got three historically good quarterbacks, three guys that you could justifiably say are Canton bound. And then you have Josh Allen, who hasn't, you know, it's not outrageous in Buffalo to make that suggestion either, just because of the way that he has improved. Has there been a more improved player in the National Football League over the last 3 years than Josh Allen, when you see how erratic he was as a rookie and you see the growth he made in his second year and now MVP caliber play this season? And it is all about the quarterback. And that's why, you know, that's why defensive coordinators matter as much as they do, because you can lose games with, and it's difficult to stop these guys once they get on a roll. And in the context of the Bears, yeah, Matt Nagy has a long to-do list this offseason. It starts with the defensive coordinator, but at some point in time, they'll pivot and they'll get to the quarterback and how do they attack this and what are the options out there. And as we continue to talk about it, because it's an ongoing conversation, supply and demand. And yesterday, Mully, Philip Rivers retiring, you know, the supply changed and the demand increased, because now the Colts, for the second time in Chris Ballard's odd but successful tenure in Indianapolis, he has to replace a guy that threw for 4,000 yards last year, Andrew Luck a couple years ago, now Philip Rivers, and the Colts have a vacancy that'll create a lot of conversation, and it'll be another domino as that'll have to fall before the Bears know what they're going to do.
It's fascinating to think about where quarterbacks want to go, right? I mean, there aren't enough of them to begin with. But if you're a guy like Mitch, isn't this like a best-case scenario? Aren't you kind of you're laughing.
Because you look at the opportunities that are out there. And because what happens if – look at Indianapolis. Now, nobody's going to say that you can envision Mitch Trubisky going to the Colts and being their starter, but I guess crazier things have happened. But what if Matthew Stafford gets traded from the Lions to the Colts, which was the immediate source of speculation yesterday throughout Indianapolis? Okay, now you got to go get Matthew Stafford, because that makes sense. Well, then the Lions need a quarterback. What are they going to do? They're going to draft somebody high, probably, but they need a bridge guy. Mitch Trubisky, as Dave Wanstead told us so in such an entertaining way the other day, might be looking at some really strong possibilities of being a starter in 2021, not just in Chicago, but as the chips fall throughout the NFL. You know, this is a guy who was 20th in the league in passer rating. Now, we kind of know better in Chicago, but there are going to be somebody out there, not all the jobs that are going to be filled by guys that are maybe overly qualified. There are going to be a lot of quarterback opportunities to be had.
One man's trash is another man's treasure, okay? You may look at a guy and think that, oh, there's no hope, and why would you bother with that and all the rest of it. And somebody else may see the future of the organization, and if we just do that or we – there's always that danger when you're talking about quarterbacks, that people believe it's the kind of Rick Meyer effect that whatever they did, oh, we're going to do something different. Our idea is so much smarter than everyone else's. Wait till you see what we do. Boy, does that get you in trouble.
The Rick Meyer effect. Oh, my gosh, that's going way back. Yeah, you're right, though. People think that once a quarterback has had some success, a change of scenery will allow them to rediscover whatever was missing and cause them to have to leave. Case in point, this is pure speculation, and this is like three steps ahead. But you look at Atlanta. Atlanta's got a new regime down there, right? They've got a new coach, new general manager, and you wonder how Matt Ryan fits into that equation. Now, it's a huge cap hit for the Falcons to move on from Matt Ryan, but he's 35, and maybe they do. And maybe the new offensive coordinator, Dave Ragone, is looking for somebody who understands him in a way that Mitch Trubisky understands him. And he is their bridge guy to whoever they draft. Stranger things have happened. So if you're Mitch, you're not feeling as bad about your future as maybe people in Chicago think you should be feeling, because you're going to likely have some chances and opportunities to explore.
I got to tell you, I would think that, you know, when Dave tells us that you can win with Mitch if you play a certain way, and you look at a team like Tennessee, that's always one of the comps that's thrown in there. You look around the league, there is such a lack of depth at that position that you really can't help but believe that maybe Mitch, this is going to be a really good offseason for Mitch. Maybe Mitch is the guy that ends up, out of everyone, kind of walking tall and walking away with the best situation, if that's humanly possible.
What did you think of Ryan Tannehill about 3 years ago at the end of his tenure with the Dolphins? You know,
bust.
And
he thought he was a bust.
He thought he was a bust. And now he had longer time to, you know, kind of define who he was in the NFL than maybe Mitch had in Chicago. But Mitch had long enough to kind of, you know, make his case, and he didn't make it successfully. But Ryan Tannehill, 32 years old now, started all 16 games this year and was the fifth highest rated passer in the NFL. You know who he was ahead of? Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. I mean, this is a guy you can win with, and they were 11-5 in Tennessee. Now, am I saying Mitch Trubisky's going to follow that same path? No, but you're exactly right. You can look at him. He's a young man still, 26 years old, and Dave talks like a football coach because that's the way football coaches talk and think, and somebody out there still believes that Mitch Trubisky can succeed in a system that is tailored to take advantage of his skill set, which, you know, he's athletic and he's got some traits. He was drafted number 2 overall for a reason.
Let's take a listen to what Dave said in case you forgot.
I would not cross Mitch Trubisky off the list. That's just my opinion. Mitch won for him at the end. They start doing what Mitch can do. You know, Mitch says all the right things. Everybody there tells me how hard he works. Everybody tells him what a good team guy is. Okay, I promise you, he's going to go someplace else and get an opportunity to play. And if it's with a team that wants to run the ball and play defense, the guy's going to be, I think, a pretty good player in this league. I don't know how good, but I think he can be every bit of Ryan Tannehill. I really, truly believe that.
You know where my head went, Molly? I mean, not to Tennessee, because Tannehill example is for reasons we just cited. I thought of Pittsburgh immediately because, again, we talk about player, you know, we've had Breeze retire and Rivers retire this week. When's Roethlisberger going to make his decision? And what is the future at that position for that franchise? And you could envision that. You could see that. You could see them being that kind of team. They can be explosive because Big Ben is, but, you know, stranger things have happened.
You know, I don't know if we're following this story, but Tom Brady is 43. What if he wins it all? What decision does he make? Is there a decision for him to make? We're going to bring in Gary Myers next, longtime NFL guy. He's seen it all. He's doing a podcast about Brady. We'll ask him if that is – I mean, at some point it has to end, right? At some point. I don't
what
know.
What better
that,
way?
Well,
you know,
could you imagine going out like that? Let's let's get to the great Mark. How are you going to walk away from your update? For God's
Bears.
Sake!
Ooh, that's a great question. That
Same
could
thing.
Be a dramatic moment. I'll just play. Like, I'll do like a 25-minute update and then just drop the microphone. You know, I'll throw all my silly little impersonations in. There'll be a dance party, the whole thing.
Not the quibble, Grody, but 25 minutes wouldn't be an update. That would be a newscast, I think.
Yeah. That's a show. Yeah.
That's a documentary.
That's
people are in the hallway banging on the door, and Grody won't stop. And then people stopping their cars, pulling over, listening, stopping and shopping. Well, there's no such thing anymore.
What if I do like a update radiothon, like a 24-hour raise money? Mitch Rosen puts it together, and it's like I just have my like update guy. Here's George Hoffman now for a quick update. All right, let's get it over to Dave Kerner.
I love
Dave.
It. I already pledge $5 right now.
Yeah. I'll give you 10, Grody. I got 10.
That is great.
I got 10.
You guys better brush up on your update. I can't have you on unless you guys can do an update, because it's just going to be one update to the next. It's just going to be constant. So I think it would be a good cause. We could raise money. And I'm glad to know that I've got your $5. That's great.
This is a scoreboard update.
I like what's going on here on the Mully and Haw show. By the way, Haw, did Breeze, did he announce his retirement? Did he officially?
Okay, he didn't, but everybody kind of knows it's happening, right?
Did you see the hug?
Did you see the hug?
Yeah.
You don't hug a man like Tom Brady like that unless you're leaving.
That's true. And plus the video of him out there with Tom Brady and his kids. I mean, that seems symbolic of something as well. Look, as the king of all updates, Haw, you scared me, because I honestly thought I missed something. I was like, wait, did Haw
just scoop
me?
Nothing
you
official.
Could totally be on my radiothon if you were scoop me on that, man. All right, let's attempt to get serious here. The Bears interviewed Mike Singletary for their defensive coordinator opening earlier this week. That's according to Adam Johns of The Athletic. Also, Brad Biggs has a story that says Bears defensive line coach Jay Rogers is bolting the Bears for the Chargers. The Bulls are at Charlotte tomorrow. They very well could have Thomas Satoransky and Chandler Hutchison back from the COVID list. The Blackhawks host Detroit tomorrow. Loyola wins. Northwestern loses in college basketball. ISU over Bradley 71-56. I'm Mark Grody, and you are listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Packers were in the NFC Championship game last year. Lost a tough one to San Francisco. And I know the kind of team they are and what they're capable of. They got a great offense, one of the best in the league. Really talented defense, really well coached. So it's how it should be, you know. The two best teams in the conference should be getting together and seeing how it all goes down. And I'm excited for it. We still got a lot of preparation. I mean, we barely got started in practice today. But, you know, we're going to need two more good days, and then that we'll be ready to go.
Tommy! Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. That is the voice of Tom Brady. He, of course, is the GOAT, and he's heading into Green Bay with Tampa to try and get to a Super Bowl, yet another Super Bowl. And we are delighted to welcome in Gary Myers. Gary, of course, one of the giants in the pantheon of sports writers and a guy that has written books about it. He's got a podcast out called The GOAT on Tom Brady. And we are really honored to welcome and brought to you by El Pamonte Nissan. El Pamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Gary.
Hey, morning, David. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, and we're looking forward to this matchup with maybe the greatest of all time. I think that's fair. Against a guy in Aaron Rodgers who's certainly the greatest this season and has just had an unbelievable career. And the idea that one of these guys ends up in the Super Bowl, they're kind of the veteran guys. And I mean, Tom's more than veteran. And then you got the young guys in the other game. So it's going to be a fascinating combination of games this weekend.
Yeah, I look at the game in Green Bay as a game for the ages and a game for the aged. And between Tom and Aaron, they're 80 years old, which is not quite as old as the combination of Tom and Drew Brees last week. But, this is a game that I just think we need to, before it starts, everybody just needs to think, we need to embrace this, because when are we going to see a game like this again between two guys? You know, Tom is the best ever, and Aaron is right up there. When is this going to happen again, one step from the Super Bowl? It may never happen in a Super Bowl where we have two quarterbacks like this who have accomplished so much. So, you know, I think it's fine that it's one step away from the Super Bowl. I think this could be a great game. Truly, the only thing that would make this better would be if there was a full house at Lambeau Field, because I've been to championship games there, and it's unlike any other place. It's such a special place. It's got that tradition of, say, Yankee Stadium, like the old Yankee Stadium, not the new Yankee Stadium. It's just a great place and a great setting for a game. And, you know, it's just a minor part of what we're going through in the country with the health crisis. But having those fans there and as supportive as they are of the Packers and as loud as they are, that's what's going to be missing on Sunday. So in its place, I just hope it snows.
Gary, it's great seeing Tom Brady do this at the end of his career with a new team. I think we saw the similar dynamic with Favre and the Vikings. You have to go back to Joe Montana and the Chiefs. It's difficult for somebody kind of redefine or reinvent themselves at this stage of their career of a great quarterback. Why did it work in Tampa, and how much did it have to do with Bruce Arians knowing when to push and when to back off?
You know, Jay, when you just said that, it just popped into my head that both Montana, Favre, and Brady in their first year with a new team all got to their conference championship games. Mm-hmm. Montana and Favre both lost. I don't know if that's a trend or maybe Tom will – maybe that's why Tom's the GOAT and he'll be able to do it in his first year. But remind me again what you were just asking me.
Why did it work at Tampa?
Because
Bruce Arians is such a strong personality.
Yeah. I didn't think it was working up until their bye week, David, because it seemed that Bruce was intent on making Tom to adjust to that no risk it, no biscuit downfield passing game. Now Tom has a strong arm, but it's never been his game. It's always kind of been, you know, between the numbers and 20 yards downfield and using his running backs in the passing game. And I thought Bruce was just trying to force Tom to fit his system. And they go into the bye week having lost three or four games, including that horrible game against the Saints where it was 38-3, the worst loss of Brady's career. And I think during the bye week, as most teams do, they sit down and they say, okay, what's working? We're going to keep that. What's not working? We're going to get rid of that. And, you know, since then, they've won six in a row. Now, out of those six, they beat Atlanta twice, Detroit, Carolina, Washington, and, you know, the Saints game was a quality victory, although it clearly Drew Brees was physically compromised. But I think that it was more Arians now adjusting to Tom than the other way around, which is what it should be. If you're going to bring in Tom Brady, why would you want to change what he's done best for 20 years? So I've been most impressed with Arians over the last 6 weeks simply because it appears to me he's been more flexible and has allowed Tom to do what he does best.
Gary, we're seeing a group of quarterbacks that are kind of nearing the end here, and we know Philip Rivers has retired. It's been reported that Drew Brees is retiring. I don't think he's confirmed that yet. But What about Tom? How? I mean, is he committed to playing beyond this year? Does it depend on winning a Super Bowl? Would that be a way to go out, or is it just not in his view, even though he's 43 years old?
Well, he said all along he wants to play till he's 45, and he's got a guaranteed contract for $25 million next year. No matter how much money you have, I think it's hard to walk away from $25 million. And I think if he wins the Super Bowl, first of all, I think he's definitely playing next year. But I think if he wins the Super Bowl, that would just motivate him to try to win it again next year. I don't think he's wired in a way that would say, okay, what a great way to go out on top, winning a Super Bowl my first year with a new team and proving I can do it without Bill Belichick. I'm walking away now, you know, with the arrow pointing completely up. I think he would just say, I'm going to come back and try to win another one. So I don't think the result of Sunday's game, or if he gets in the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks, I don't think that'll impact his decision at all. I think he's already made up his mind he's playing next year.
Opposite Brady, Gary, on Sunday will be the young gun Aaron Rodgers, only 37. how much did his success, and I don't know if he's been any better than he has been this year, and how much of that success on the heels of them drafting a quarterback in the first round, did it affect his future in Green Bay? We have fun here in Chicago fantasizing about the idea of Aaron Rodgers one day leaving the Packers, especially after they drafted Love. But I don't know if they're closer to that point or they went further away from that because he had such a great season.
David, that's a great question. And you know what? I'm going to give a little plug to this week's podcast because I have Al Michaels on. And Al addressed that with Aaron when the Packers, when NBC had that game, the Packers-Titans game late in the season. And he told me that Aaron said that he just, like, wiped all the negativity out of his mind that came with the Packers taking a quarterback rather than a player that can help him this year. And that he just turned it into positive motivation. What was really interesting – he told me that in that meeting that he had with Aaron before that game, he asked Rodgers whether or not he had any heads up from the Packers before the pick that they were going to take Jordan Love, and he said absolutely not. So can you imagine he's sitting there watching on TV, and I believe the Packers even traded up for that. I'm not positive about that, but I think they did. And he's sitting there watching on TV and expecting a wide receiver or an offensive lineman or somebody that's going to help him in 2020, and they take a quarterback. I mean, he must have fallen off his chair. And Al said and said he went to the refrigerator and got some tequila instead. But I think it really motivated him that it motivated Favre when they took Aaron and he kept Rodgers on the bench for 3 years. I really think that Rodgers has the same mindset that Favre had in 2005. And, you know, Favre raised his game a little bit and got to a conference championship game in 07. So I think it's had the same impact on Rodgers. And if nothing else, it's taken his game to another level. And everybody around Green Bay says he's been as happy as he's ever been this year. Because, you know, he's always been complaining about something here or there and, you know, sometimes it's subtle, but he just never seemed real happy. But, you know, Al especially was telling me that he's never seen Rodgers happier.
Gary, you've chronicled quarterbacks for your entire career, and I wonder if you see any change at the position. There are guys like Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Russell Westbrook, guys that don't fit the sort of stereotypes tall in the pocket quarterback that used to be the guy everyone was looking for. It seems like we are now in a free-for-all just trying to fill that position. Some teams can't ever seem to do it.
Yeah, I can think of one in your city.
Exactly.
I thought you were going to say that people in Chicago are fantasizing about Rodgers,
yes,
even Green Bay, and showing
yes
up in
We talked about that earlier today.
Yes,
you know, when he said that he
guilty, is, Gary, guilty.
He said something about his beautiful mystery of his future.
Everyone's
like, that's Chicago. Yeah.
I have a feeling that you and David would get in your you'd rent the biggest limo you can find. What is it, about 2 hours from Chicago to Green Bay, maybe a little longer, 2.5? That you'd get some champagne in the back seat, some caviar. You guys would drive to Green Bay, pick him up, get him an apartment on in the coolest area downtown Chicago, or maybe out in Lake Forest, and get him guest passes to the nicest steakhouse in Chicago. Whether he's 37 or 40, he's going to be better than whoever the quarterback is for the Bears at that time. You know, I've always wondered, you know, people were ripping the Jets. They took Jamal Adams instead of Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. And it's because – it's only because the year before they had taken Christian Hackenberg in the second round, and they were determined to make that work, and the guy never stepped on the field, literally never stepped on the field. But the Bears traded up for Trubisky in that draft. I just can't get over that. That not only did they not sit there and just take him, but they traded up one spot for the guy and passed over Mahomes and Watson. That's got to be one of the all-time draft blunders right there. And I know that's not breaking news in Chicago, but...
Hey, Gary, one of those picks that went to San Francisco was traded to New Orleans, and they took Alvin Kamara. So if you actually, if you follow that trade-up, it's just like you want to tear your hair out.
So you're telling me that instead of Trubisky and the Bears running back du jour, you would rather have Mahomes or Watson and Alvin Kamara?
Yeah. How about that?
You'd rather have
Gary
Colin be there.
Chicago would celebrate Sam Darnold at this point. So if Jets are interested in trading him, the Bears would probably listen.
Do you know something? I'll tell you this. Darnold has been wavering between mediocre and awful for 3 years. So he probably fit in really well with the Bears. But I actually think that he's in the right circumstance, the right coaching and enough players around him. I still think Sam's going to be good. He's only 23 years old. He has a ton of ability. He got coached by Adam Gase for 2 years, and you guys had a little bit of Gase for a year or so as the coordinator there in Chicago. I mean, I like Adam personally, but this might have been the worst coaching job I've ever seen, probably since Rich Kotite was with the Jets.
Oh.
Gase was just, I mean, in every aspect of being a head coach, he was terrible. And then the talent on the team was, I mean, maybe expansion team level. And so I think Sam, in a good situation, actually can go on to have a good career. And you know, the Jets are saying they're going to keep him, but if they can get Deshaun Watson and they got the assets to do it, I think if Watson gets traded, there's a very good chance he comes to the Jets. They have a ton of draft picks that they can give Houston, and that's a really interesting one to keep an eye on. But why Chicago just can't get a quarterback, and when they were in perfect position to get two all-timers, and they passed on both of them to take Trubisky, it's just, boy, oh, boy.
It's going to leave a mark. Gary, thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you. The podcast is called The GOAT, about Tom Brady. Check it out. Thanks so much, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Molly and David, thanks so much for having me on, and have a great day.
You too, buddy. That is Gary Myers. Great stuff from him, and you know, literally written the books on this stuff. It's it is extraordinary when you think about that Bears and how they. Oh well, let's not get caught up in that. That'll stop our life momentum, and we're in a good place. So let's stay there. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
Hey, it's Dan Bernstein.
And Layla Rahimi.
From the Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
We are happy to be joined by Ian Happ. He joins us at 9:40. An hour later, it is the midday midway. You know it's going to be a bunch of laughs. And then Bulls Talk with Mark Schanowski. That is at 11 a.m.
Next on Bernstein and Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.